I'd like to take a bit of time this morning in this time for instructions to talk about practice in daily life. And David will also talk a little bit about practice of yoga in daily life. So there are two aspects that I want to emphasize, bring forward. And one is the practice of mindfulness in the body is really something that we can weave into our daily lives in a very, very beneficial way. Our body can be our ally in our practice. The body will tell you when you're in reactivity. If you listen, if you tune into the body, the mind just kind of has this driven energy. So you hear something, and a reaction comes in out of anger, out of fear, maybe out of wanting, and so if we learn to stay embodied in our daily lives, to stay kind of grounded and at home in the body, we can stop and we can listen and we can, you know, ask our ally, our friend, the body, for a reflection of what is happening right now. So it's, you know, it's just as simple as remembering to take a breath, you know. Tara Brach uses the phrase, the sacred pause. So just taking that time to pause and to bring mindfulness, to bring some insight, some discernment into what's happening. And it's okay to take that time to pause. I know for myself anyway, I sometimes feel so pressured to answer right away, to send that email right away. Oh no, they're not going to do that. I have to step in. I have to say something. I have to, make my perspective known, and I've really learned to just wait, you know, or text or whatever platform you use. It is so, we are so prone to the quick retort on these platforms, and it's really good to just wait and feel in the body what's happening. You know, is there fear? Is there anger? And it might be that there is something to be concerned about, or it might be that something unskillful was said or done, and we do want to respond in some way. Giving ourselves the time to settle and tune in can help us to reflect on what would be skillful, what to reflect, you know, internally and externally. That phrase from the Satipatthana, internally, externally, and both internally and externally. So externally, can we use our imagination, our empathy, our heart, which is attuned to maybe discern what is actually, you know, what is coming in from somebody or from some situation, where that might be coming from, and what might be a helpful way to respond, rather than just, you know, denying or negating the value of that.
So
pause, listen to the body, the heart, tune in, honor what's happening, and respond. And this is so helpful, especially in our closest relationships and our intimate relationships. So those that we're living with, our spouses, our partners, our children, our parents, our neighbors, our colleagues at work, you know, those who we're very familiar with, those with whom we want to build relationships that are really grounded in wisdom and kindness. Our most intimate relationships are such a valuable place for our work of mindfulness, because, you know, it's within that context that so much comes up. Our needs, our feelings of you know, from the past, of abandonment, of needing to be loved and accepted, a fear that we're not, you know, all of these come into our intimate relationships, and they are such an important place to bring our practice. And even when they're challenging, especially when they're challenging. So that's just really encouraging to take the sacred pause, to take the three breaths. You know, it's in our common wisdom, you know, count to 10. So take three breaths, three slow breaths. And you're allowed that time. And the other thing I would really like to offer is that practice that I talked about on the first couple of days is offering that healing love to ourselves. We are all wounded. We're all wounded in many ways from our families of origin, from our life experiences, from capitalism, from the bigotry that's embedded in our society, racism, ableism, bodyism, you know, the perfect body. We all in some ways feel, or most of us perhaps feel, that in some ways there's something wrong with our body, or we begin to feel that as the body ages. So we are in need of healing, all of us. And this love that we can offer for ourselves, not a love that we need to somehow earn by being perfect or better, at least, simply that love which is really fully accepting, respecting, loving all that we are right now. And that, you know, and, you know, just again, make it a practice to weave through your day. Take some time, you know, if you're working, take a break, take a meta break, and just stop and tune in. How am I feeling? And if there's a drivenness, if there's a harshness, if there's a feeling of I can't do this, I'm not enough. So tune into that and then offer yourself this quality of kindness. And it does, this also does ripple out into our relationships, because often the reactivity or the critical, edgy way that we might be with somebody who is in our life comes out of this hurt. And when we are at peace with our heart, when our hearts are loved, when we're loving ourselves and, you know, just caring for ourselves just as we are, we're less likely to feel that something is lacking in the person. You know, very often I find that when my mind thinks that there's something wrong with my life and I'm blaming it on somebody, that it's really my feeling that there's something wrong with me and my inability to just be at peace and to care for myself. And this is not to deny that there are situations in which there is mistreatment or something needs to change. So it's not always about just turning to ourselves. Sometimes things do need to change. And then, you know, we can speak the truth in love. You know, that's a line from one of the letters in the New Testament, one of the letters of St. Paul, which I just think is so beautiful. I'll speak the truth with love. And truthfulness is one of the parami, to be truthful, to speak from our heart, and kindness. And to also take care of ourselves if something needs to change. So, yeah, so just taking the time for turning inward and for caring for ourselves. David, would you like to say something about leaving yoga?
Yeah, I can think of three things that you know, we can talk about. You know, so since the pandemic, many of us are spending more time on Zoom, which has its benefits. Because for many of us, we can be at home with our children, you know, we're not driving so much. But the downside is that many of us are spending hours sitting in a chair. And, you know, it takes a toll on the body for sure. You know, really important to take a few minutes between your Zoom sessions. Therapists, for instance, do a 50-minute hour, and then, you know, there's a 10-minute break, and then the next client, you know, I can think of that. Or if you're going from one conference to the next, you know, take 10 minutes if you can, and get up and move your body. We spend so much time in our heads, many of us do, that really important to reconnect with the body, get out of the mind, get into the body. So one of the things we did this week, every morning, was the joint rotation series. Do you remember that? Working from, you know, starting with the ankles and then the knees and the hips and So if you connected with that, you might want to use that one or some other, some sun breaths. I mean, it really doesn't matter, but just finding a few minutes to reconnect, and it refreshes the mind. And so whatever happened in the last session with the last client, you know, sort of like, okay, sort of like breathe that out and then freshen the mind to receive the next client or the next conference you're going to or whatever you're doing. So that's one piece. The other thing that, for you, for those of you who do practice yoga on a regular basis, many of you go to yoga classes, and they're great. You know, going to yoga class is good because it's structured, and you have a teacher, and the teacher's telling you, okay, I'm going to do this pose, I'm going to do that pose, so you don't have to worry about that. And it's particularly good when you're starting your yoga practice is to get that instruction, for sure. But I also encourage you to practice on your own. I encourage you to practice on your own, because when you practice on your own, then the invitation is to really connect with yourself. You know, just kind of inquiry from moment to moment. What do I need right now? You know, what would feel really right now? You know, rather than having some ideas, okay, I have to do 5 sun salutations, you know. But no, really, like, just pausing for a moment is like, oh, it'd be really nice to just lie down in Shavasana for a few minutes and then maybe do some stretches. Or I'm feeling really energetic today and I really do need to move, but listening deeply to what your body needs. And I have found that practicing yoga that way throughout the year, you really start to see the cycles and the patterns, you know, like on a rainy, dark, blustery day, it's like, you know, I'm much more inside. And then when it's sunny, you know, sort of like I have more energy. And so, and then there's a teaching there, right? The interconnection between our bodies and the environment that we live in, and those changes from day to day. Seasons, like, you know, I find in winter, I'm just much more inside myself. My practice tends to be more yin. I'm more down on the ground. And then as spring arises, it's just like more like flowers that are blooming, you know. I'm practicing more upright. I'm more, you know, there's more breath. And, you know, so... And that's for me, you know, it could be different for you, but you really, when you practice this way, you start to see that, you know, it's not just we have these bodies, but our bodies are, you know, this dynamic, there's this dynamic dialogue between our bodies and the environment that we live in. So great teaching there for me anyways. And then the third thing, the third thing I want to talk to you about is, so, I mean, it's great if you have a meditation practice, and I'm sure many of you do, and you get up in the morning or maybe before you go to bed, you sit. And I know life is, we're all so busy, so even finding 10, 15, 20 minutes to sit, it's amazing, right? So I'm not saying you have to practice yoga every day, but if you have time, maybe on the weekends, you know, to give yourself a little bit more time so you're sitting and doing yoga, extremely valuable. And you might want to play with that. So like, what I mean by that is, what is it like to sit first for say 20 minutes or so, and then do yoga, you know? So like when I practice that way, I found that sitting first, calm the body, you know, soften the muscles, and I feel that the connection with the body and very concentrated. And then I go into yoga. My yoga practice is just so much more rich. But some people have reported that doing yoga first for 20 minutes or so and then sitting can really inform their meditation practice. You know, because the body's more relaxed. And so, you know, there's our ability to settle into the breath, into the practice, just that much more available if we've released some of the tension from the body, from the muscles. So I encourage you to experiment with, okay, what is it like if I do some yoga and then sit? What is it like if I sit and then do some yoga? And, you know, play with that.
So we will have some time for kind of Q&R, question and response, in the next time that we're gathering together. So we're just going to move back into silence now. Thank you, David. And and to just sit with, as I mentioned in the earlier, sit with what's stirring up, because going home mind is there, thinking about what's at home, what's calling you, how your energies will be needed in different ways. So we've had this time to deepen, to perhaps open up in some ways that have been helpful, and now maybe with whatever steadiness is there to just welcome what's arising without getting pulled into the whole story of it.